This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Luke chapter 2 says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You'll find that baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." I want to talk to you about It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Life. It's the story of George Bailey, played by the late, great Jimmy Stewart. George Bailey lived in a small town, much like our town. It was called Bedford Falls, just a small town. But George Bailey had aspirations past Bedford Falls. He had aspirations of leaving Bedford Falls. He wanted to go to college. He wanted to get an education. He wanted to make some resources. And he wanted to travel the world, seeing all the beautiful things in the vast world that he lived in. But if you know the story, George had problems. And by the way, folks, that's a common denominator with all lives. Amen? There are going to be problems. You're not going to get out of this world alive. Amen? There are going to be problems. And George had a host of problems. And some of those problems were even financial problems. And he reached the point that George said, life is not worth living. Now, it was right at Christmas time. And George decided that he would end his life. And do you realize that more people commit suicide at Christmas time than any other time of the year? More people end their lives during this season than in any other time of the year. And that's what George Bailey decided he'd do. He'd go out to a bridge. He would jump off the bridge, and he would drown himself. But George goes out to the bridge, and he encounters somebody. He encounters a man by the name of Clarence. Now, what George doesn't know is Clarence is actually an angel. I want you to know something. Every person has at least one guardian angel. That's scriptural. Every person has at least one guardian angel. And if you drive like I do, you probably have multiple ones. But every person has at least one. And you know, folks, here was Clarence in a physical body. You say, Pastor, is that possible? It sure is. Because Hebrews 13:2 says some of us have entertained angels unaware. Some of us have had angels in our presence, and we didn't even realize it, but it was actually an angel. I think I've had that to happen to me once. And actually an angel was in my presence. And literally, George says, my life's been a mess. I'm going to just end my life. And he says these words, it would have been better if I had never been born. And Clarence says, that's just not true. That's just not true. Because let me tell you something. A lot of people's lives would have been different had you not been born. You had a brother. You had a brother, Harry. And when he was 12 years old, he fell in water. And what you don't realize, George, had you not been there, Harry would have drowned. Harry would have drowned. You remember you jumped in and you saved him. Your ear, the hearing in your ear was messed up. But Harry wouldn't have lived, George, if it hadn't been for you. And he said, George, you remember when you worked for the druggist, Mr. Geyer, Mr. Geyer was putting poison in a prescription. And you told him no. And you rebuked him to the point that he even became violent. But you don't realize you saved an individual's life, because that person would have been poisoned because of that prescription. And not only would they have been poisoned, but that druggist would have gone to prison for manslaughter. And you remember, George, when your daddy died? When your daddy died and you took over the business, had you not taken over the building and loan business, Henry Potter, who was the meanest man in the town, would have taken control of the town. And instead of the town being Bedford Falls, it would have been Pottersville. I want you to know something. Your life, George, made a big difference in other people's lives. Now, what I love about this story is George was just a common guy. Abraham Lincoln said, God must love common people because he made so many of them. I love what the Bible says about Jesus. It says the common people received him gladly. He was just an ordinary guy, but God used him. But let me tell you about some other ordinary guys. They weren't dignitaries. They weren't educated. They weren't elitist. Literally, these guys were mentioned 200 times in the Bible, but their testimonies was not even admissible in the court of law. They were shepherds. But God used shepherds to make the greatest announcement that's ever been made. God made the greatest announcement that's ever been made to a group of farmers, to a group of shepherds. And God used those shepherds in tremendous ways. And what I want us to do, I believe we can look at those shepherds, and those shepherds teach every one of us how to have a wonderful life. Those shepherds give us a diagram for how we can have a wonderful life. The first thing that I learned from those shepherds is this. Learn that life is a gift. Learn that life is a gift. The Bible says in Luke 2 and 8, those shepherds were abiding in the field. I look at different translations, and I love what one translation said. It said those shepherds were camping in the neighborhood. They were camping in the neighborhood. Just out of curiosity, how many of you have ever watched It's a Wonderful Life? These are the people that are going to heaven first. What's interesting, this movie, It's a Wonderful Life, it actually came from a book. The name of the book was The Greatest Gift. It was from that book, The Greatest Gift. And ladies and gentlemen, the greatest gift is life. And we've got to learn that our lives are gifts from God. I heard about a young lady that was always complaining about what she didn't have. And did you know the Bible says this? When I complain, my spirit's going to be overwhelmed. When you complain, your spirit's going to be overwhelmed. Complaining's not going to do you any good. And she was complaining about all the things she didn't have. And finally, her mother heard enough of it. And she said, let me say something to you, young lady. I know all the things that you don't have, but I want to remind you of what you do have. I gave you life. I gave you life. And the greatest thing I could give you is life. See, I want you to know something. Life is our gift from God. And what we do with our lives is our gift back to Him. See, Jesus said in John 10 and 10, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Life is a gift, ladies and gentlemen. See, Psalms 139:14 says this, I'm going to praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Somebody said, Pastor Benny's that preacher that's against abortion. Oh, folks, more than I'm against abortion, I'm for life. I believe in the intrinsic value of every life. I believe every life that matters. I believe every life matters, and I believe life is special. I believe life is sacred from the womb to the tomb. We're wonderfully and fearfully made by God. Wonderfully. Hey, folks, if you're battling a low self-esteem, if you think somehow you're less than, I want you to know something. You're wonderfully and fearfully made. And the Bible says He makes all things beautiful. He makes all things beautiful. You're beautiful in the eyes of God. Little girl was sitting in Grandpa's lap. She put her hands upon her cheeks. She said, Grandpa, did God make me? Rubbing her little cheeks, he said, oh, yes, honey. God made you. God made you. And then she placed her little hands on Grandpa's cheeks. She said, Grandpa, did God make you? He said, yes, darling, God made me. She said, Grandpa, God's doing a better job now than He used to. Amen. Well, whatever element, we need to learn that life is a gift. There's a second thing that we learn from these shepherds. You look and discover God's blessings. You look and discover God's blessings. Look what this Bible says. It says they were keeping watch. It'd do a lot of us good if we'd keep watch. Two men looked out prison bars. One saw mud, the other saw stars. Look and discover God's blessings in your life. Psalm 68 and 19 says this, that every day God loads us down with benefits. Every day God loads us down with blessings. Every day God just blesses our socks off if we'll look for it. Every day, God's just blessing us. He's just giving to us. He's just taking care of us. We're just walking in the goodness of God. He's blessing us every day. There's always something to thank God for. When I was in school, I was in the bottom half that made the top half possible. And I remember one time I brought the report card home. It wasn't real good, and Melba Jean, that's my mother, she was upset. She said, Benny, I know you can do better than this. You're not trying. You're not applying yourself. And my sister Rhonda spoke up. And she said, but Mama, there's a good side. Good side. Look at this report card. There's no good side. Look at these grades. There's no good side. She said, yes, there is a good side. At least we know Benny's not cheating. Zig Ziglar said he brought his report card home one time. He said he had four Fs and a D. Four Fs and a D, the old Zig Ziglar from Yazoo City, Mississippi. And his mother said, Zig, I want some explanation. Four Fs and a D. He said, well, Mom, it's obvious. I'm spending too much time focusing on one subject. Folks, it's all what you focus on. Look and discover God's blessings. See, here's what I know. Opportunities come to the faithful. Opportunities come to the faithful. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, think about these shepherds. Think about these shepherds. Night after night, they just kept watch over their sheep. But one night, an angelic host appears. Night after night, they just watched the sheep. It was mundane. It was routine. It was ordinary. It was boring. But on one night, the angelic host appeared. What I'd say to you, do what you can with what you have, where you are, and God won't leave you where you are, and He'll increase what you have. Just listen, opportunities come to the faithful. Just faithful. You just, no, I'm just going to be faithful. Here's what people come to me sometime, and they'll say, well, I need to talk to you, Pastor. Bob don't come to church much. I say, oh, Bob doesn't come much. That's right. We need to give Bob a job, because if you give Bob a job, he'll be so faithful. And that sounds good, folks, but it's 100% against the teaching of the Word of God. Look what the Bible says. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, and he counted me faithful. Wait. After I was faithful, he put me in the ministry. He counted me faithful and had a ministry for me. See, you don't get a ministry to make them faithful. They're faithful and then they get a ministry. Opportunities come to the faithful. I never will forget late one night being in bed with Barbara, looking over at her, and she said, Benny, I love you. I said, Barbara, I sure do love you. And I said, Barbara, you know, I'd rather die as be unfaithful to you. And she said, don't worry. If you are, you will. Opportunities come to the faithful. And bad opportunities come to the unfaithful. Amen. You know, I preached last week on the Grinch Who Stole Christmas. That goes back to a book written by Dr. Seuss in 1957. That cat, no pun intended, but that rascal, he sold 600 million copies. Pretty strong, but listen to this. When he wrote his first book, 27 publishers turned him down, said nobody would be interested. Nobody's interested in your stuff, Dr. Seuss. Nobody's interested. Well, 600 million people were interested. But what did he do? He kept on. Somebody said when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're traveling seems all uphill, when funds are low and debts are high, when you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt, and you never can tell how close you are. You may be near when it seems so far, so stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things go wrong that you must not quit. I'll tell you something else. Opportunities come to the fearful. Opportunities can be fearful. You said, wait, Pastor Benny, I'll tell you something. If God's in it, there'll be no fear. That's right. Well, that's not right. Look what the Bible says. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord showed round about them. Hey, now, by the way, folks, it's pretty obvious that God's in this thing. Amen. But look what the Bible says. They were sore afraid. Let me tell you something. Sometimes when God lays something on your heart, there'll be some fear. Sometimes when God wants you to do something new, there'll be some fear. Sometimes when there's a new ministry, a new relationship, a new opportunity for business, there's change involved, there'll be some fear. But folks, you go on in spite of the fear if you know God's leading you. There'll be some fear because, folks, if there wasn't fear, we'd just become mechanical. But fear enables us to lean upon God. Here's what I've learned. It's dependence upon God that brings the Holy Spirit to our lives. It's dependence upon God that will always bring the Holy Spirit. See, from those shepherds, we learned some things. Let me tell you the third thing that we learned from those shepherds. Live fully committed. Live fully committed. Adrian Rogers, who I think is the best preacher I've ever heard, Adrian Rogers said, there are two words that will change your life. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know how we ought to live our lives? Yes, Lord. God, whatever you want, it's not up for debate. The answer is yes, Lord. No, I don't have to think about it. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, what do you think about this? It doesn't matter what I think about it. It's what God says about it. Yes, Lord. And what I mean by yes, Lord, is I'm just fully committed to God. I love the story about the pig and the chicken. The pig and the chicken said, we need to make a breakfast for our owner. And the pig says, oh, I don't know about that. He said, yeah, let's make ham and eggs. Pig said, I don't know about that. Because for you it's a contribution, but for me it's total commitment. What's Romans 12, 1 and 2 say? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now let me tell you, folks, when you live your life with a yes, Lord attitude, God's going to show you what he wants for your life. Somebody said, I just don't know what God wants. Let me say something. I've got a daughter that's 26 years old. She wouldn't appreciate me saying that. But I've got a daughter that's 26. She's never lived one day of her life being unclear of what her daddy wanted. She's never lived one day of her life being unclear about what her daddy wanted. There is no way you can convince me that our Heavenly Father wants to keep you in the dark. There is no way you can convince me of that. God is going to make it clear. And let me tell you something. The greater the change in your life, the greater the sign. The greater the change, the greater the sign. You say, Pastor, where do you get this stuff, the Bible? When he gave the Ten Commandments... By the way, they're not the Ten Suggestions. They're the Ten Commandments. When he gave the Ten Commandments, what happened? There was a bush, it wouldn't burn up. Think about it. When they announced the birth of Jesus, we've got angels, we've got stars. The crucifixion, a bodily resurrection. The greater the change in your life, the greater the sign will be there. Barbara and I, we're living in Tennessee, pastoring a church, minding my own business. And they said there's a missionary that's a missionary in Mexico that needs a place to stay. And can the missionary from Mexico who's going to be going to all these churches in the area stay with you all? Barbara and I never had a missionary stay with us. We never had a missionary. So this lady missionary from Mexico comes and she's in our home. We don't know her. We'd never met her. I knew nothing about her. But she needed a place to stay and we had a place to stay. And she stayed 2 or 3 days. And then she said something. She was getting ready to leave in just a short time. She said, I want you all to pray about something. I said, sure, tell me about it. She said, well, my home church has been without a pastor for 9 months. And she said, they need a pastor. And will you join me in praying that they can get a pastor? That's what the missionary from Mexico said. I said, sure. But I want to ask you something. I'm going to be praying. Where is your home church? She said, well, actually, it's in a place in Georgia. I said, where would it be in Georgia? She said, you would never have heard of it. It's a small little place called Milner, Georgia. True story. I go in the bedroom. I bring Barbara in. My eyes are big as watermelons. I said, oh my God, Barbara. I've never preached in Georgia. I've never preached in Georgia, but this is crazy. I'm supposed to preach there next weekend. The greater the change, the greater the sign. Someone said, oh, I'm so unclear. No, no, no. You get fully committed, and it'll be clear. You live your life with an attitude, yes, Lord, you won't stay in the dark long. Hey, I can prove it. Look what the Bible says. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, wait. Who is he born? And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Process this. Who was he born for? Everyone. When was he born? This day. Where was he born? Bethlehem. Why was he born? We need a Savior. Who was he? Christ the Lord. Which baby was he? The one lying in a manger. God's pretty direct when your attitude is yes, Lord. See, I thought about old George Bailey. George Bailey was a yes, Lord guy. Because George Bailey was getting ready to go on his honeymoon. And they had the bank collapse. And he said, here, the people need this money. It's $2,000. It will help the people. Think about it. When that brother fell into that water, George jumped in. Think about it. When George goes to the bridge to end his life, he gets wet. You know why he gets wet? Because Clarence, the angel, jumps in the water. And George jumps in the water to save Clarence. Let me tell you what would help a lot of you if you'd quit dipping your toes in the water and you jump in fully committed to God. Fully committed. Are we going to church today? I'm not for sure if I want to go today. I've got some other things going on. But when church becomes a priority, we never had to pray about church around the Tate household. It's the Lord's Day. Why, Pastor, it's the only day I've got to do. Hey, bozo, you've missed it right there. It's not your day. It's the Lord's Day. Hunt Bambi on Saturday. Get in church on Sunday. You say, you talking to me? Well, if your phone's ringing, pick it up. Now look, when they heard the news, I'm just being honest, folks. Listen, I mean, John said I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, not I was on the golf course. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, not in the deer stand. And men, you ought to get a backbone, and that lady needs to quit leading the home, and you need to say, today's the Lord's Day, and we're going to God's house. We're going to God's house. Her begging you to go. It's terrible. It's time for you to stand up and be the leader. Say, I'll be the spiritual leader of this home. We're going to be in God's house on Sunday. Johnny's going to be in Sunday school. Sally's going to be in Sunday school. Well, he's 12 years old and he don't want to go anymore and I don't know how to handle it. See me privately after service. I'll tell you how to handle it. Johnny don't get a vote. Who's leading the home? You or Johnny at 12? I can get anointed on all this all by myself. God help us. Fully commit. Why some of you are miserable today is you're not fully committed to God. You're trying to play both worlds and you're miserable. You're trying to play both worlds and you're miserable. That's the most miserable person on earth, that person that's trying to play both worlds. The only way you're going to be fulfilled, totally sold out to God. Totally sold out to God. Let me tell you something. I preached a funeral yesterday. I preach a funeral just about every day. And if I don't meet with them before the funeral, my assistant will meet with them. And she always knows the questions. I'm going to start out talking about their life, but I'm going to tell you, I'll get to the spiritual part. And friend, if there's nothing spiritually, I don't have anything to share. Because the reality is, we all preach our own funerals. I don't preach your funeral. You're going to preach your own funeral. Your life is going to be your funeral. I don't know why, folks. I didn't get into all this in the other two services. They must be some of you that's needing it real bad. I just preached 12 minutes in those services. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Okay, last point. Last thing these guys did, and I'm done. Lift up your praise to God. Lift up your praise. You know, I thought about this, and I am done, but I thought about this. These shepherds, verse 20 says, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. And I began to think about, why did these guys get so happy? And then I realized something. What did shepherds do? Took care of the sheep. What happened with the sheep? They were sacrificed at the temple. Research says On certain days, there was as many as a million sheep killed. They said on certain days, the blood was to the knees of the priest. And all it was doing was making a covering to the next year. You know why these shepherds rejoiced? Boys, our work's just about over. Because behold, the Lamb of God that takes away. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And folks, you know what we've got to lift up the Lord and praise Him for? The Lamb of God has come that takes away the sins of the world. You can have a wonderful life if you learn that life's a gift. If you look for the blessings, if you live fully committed, and if you lift up your praise to God.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.